Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettina, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. I'm Dan Rettina, the founder of Dan's Papers. My guest today is Peter Mikolos, who is a prominent medical ophthalmologist in Southampton, who is widely respected and widely known, actually beginning long ago when he was instrumental in helping the hospital, Southampton Hospital, get through a very rough financial situation by raising a considerable sum, quite an accomplishment for just one of the doctors who's there. And I want to welcome you to the show and thank you for being on.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate you having me. And just to also give you some background, a lot of people know me as an ophthalmologist, but I actually also worked 5 years in urgent care medicine, and I also worked in Rikers Island in maximum security to pay back my medical school loan, even survived two riots. And I also studied a three-year fellowship in anti-aging medicine. And I also did a fellowship in called Orbit Oculoplastics, which is the reconstructive surgery after trauma, car accidents, and when people have Mohs surgery. And that's what I did most of my years out Southampton, dealing with all the bar fights from the body barn to the drunk car accidents and putting people's face and eyes and the bones around the eyes together. And also for the last 35 years, I'm a clinical associate professor at Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons, where I also recently wrote the book chapter on the orbital trauma section and reconstructive surgery. And this year in 2026, I was inducted into the Alpha Omega Alpha National Honor Society that's been around since 1902, that also has 60 Nobel laureates and 9 astronauts. So in addition to ophthalmology, a lot of people out here know me locally, but I've done a lot of additional training in medicine and healthcare, and I'm actually just releasing my second book on anti-aging called The Death of Aging, where I summarize all the anti-aging literature from around the world, and even working with an AI a specialist from Poland who's in the Forbes 30 under 30. And we've developed an app where you put anything on anti-aging, any topic, vitamin, whatever you want, and the AI will pull up all the recent literature that's peer-reviewed to keep people updated on the fascinating field of anti-aging medicine.
That's quite a resume. Are you from this area? Did you grow up here?
I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. And the reason I ended up in Brooklyn, New York is my grandfather was a merchant marine and ended up in Brooklyn.
What brought you out to the East End?
I was giving a talk. I was at Columbia Presbyterian when I was a fellow, and I was giving a lecture on facial trauma. And there were doctors in the audience who were practicing on the East End of Long Island and told me that no one does your subspecialty and we really need somebody in the specialty for facial trauma and reconstruction and reconstructive ophthalmic plastic surgery, because there were quite a few accidents and interpersonal altercations here in the summer. And they would have to send people out, people who had cancers around the face and eyes and the reconstruction. So I said, okay, I'll start coming out. And I drove out for the first time past exit 30 on the LIE. And I immediately fell in love with it. And I said, wow, there's nice people here, and the ocean, the beach, and people were very pleasant. And I started coming out 3 days a week, and that led into a more full-time situation where I wanted to be in a community that was very peaceful and calm, except I was dealing with the other side of the community, which was the trauma, the car accidents. And I worked the first 20 years. I covered the emergency room for 20 years, basically 24/7, because nobody else was doing my subspecialty. So I was quite busy, and I made a life out here, and we're very blessed to be out here in a beautiful community like the East End of Long Island, and I got to read my first copy of Dan's papers, and I was very happy because you actually, you're one of the authors that makes people laugh. You have that warmth and good humor in your writing style. So that was another reason I enjoyed the Hamptons. I couldn't wait to see my next issue of Dan's and also unique art you had every week.
Well, thank you for that. Tell me a little about this book. What's the name of it?
It's called The Death of Aging, and it basically summarizes all the anti-aging literature from around the world and some of the new exciting things happening in the world of anti-aging. As we speak right now, for example, there's a fellow named Dr. Yamanaka in Japan who got the Nobel Prize for the OSK genes that found that we each have a younger copy of our software in each one of our cells. And they've already reversed blindness in mice and apes. And Dr. David Sinclair's lab, they did that at Harvard. And right now they're doing the clinical trials on humans with glaucoma and some other eye conditions that are blinding. And that is going to come out maybe in the next few weeks or months. And it's going to change medicine completely. The ability to reverse blindness and tell cells to go into a younger age. And also at Stanford University, they gave these Yamanaka factors to wild mice, and they lived 109% longer, which was 200 extra days, which is the equivalent of 34 human years. So it's an amazing time to be in medicine and healthcare because basically, if we can live for another 3 to 5 years, we'll be able to go to these anti-aging clinics and receive an infusion of Yamanaka factors and actually go backwards in time. So that's a whole area and whole chapter that's covered in the book. And I'm just fascinated by that area. And also some of the other areas like the microbiome, which we didn't know years ago, that the gut is 80% of our immunity and that a lot of foundational health happens in the gut. And since I've been involved in anti-aging medicine, my wife, Dr. Magdalena Szwarczewski, is a board-certified internist who trained at NYU, and she's an anti-aging specialist. And I've watched how people with gut health problems, people with reflux and various irritable bowel syndromes, I learned about the gut microbiome analysis that she was doing on patients. And I sent several patients. Like, there was actually a gentleman who was the chairman of a department in gastroenterology, and I had told him about it. And he got on the appropriate probiotics, and he was able to stop his reflux, get off medications. And I found that to be fascinating that just by balancing and fixing people's gut microbiome, that they got better. And in the recent literature, they found that the centenarians in Sardinia and places like Icaria, Greece, when they looked at their gut microbiome, it was different. There was more microbial diversity, unlike our gut microbiome here in the United States, with a lot of the processed foods that we eat, the artificial sweeteners, how our soil has been altered, and how it affects the gut, and how the gut is part of our foundational health and for longevity. And recent literature, just 3 weeks ago, even in Ötzi the Iceman, that was found, the 5,000-year-old mummy, they were able to grow the bacteria in his gut, and they found that he also had more microbial diversity than modern Americans have. So it's a fascinating area of health that we're going to be learning more about. They even took people with certain mental disorders, and they found that when they did a fecal transplant of healthy gut microbiome into some of those patients, they started improving their mental health. So, in the future, in the next few years, part of a routine exam is going to be analysis of the gut microbiome and telling people how to optimize their gut because there's syndromes like small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. There's something called leaky gut syndrome because the lining of our gut wall, when it is not functioning properly, a lot of bad bacteria can enter our bloodstream, and that causes inflammation, which is also called inflammaging. So that whole area is a new fascinating area of medicine. In addition, we're now learning how to test people for mold. And I had, for example, one lady who's out here, a prominent real estate owner. who was having skin lesions all over our body for years, went to every Ivy League clinic and had it treated with topical steroids. She basically, you urinate in a cup, they send it off to the lab, and it measures mold metabolites. And she had lived in houses that had mold, and she found which, the doctor figured out which mold she had, treated for that mold, and this person's skin lesions went away. And I get flowers every once in a while and thank yous for telling her to go and do this testing. So medicine has advanced in many ways, and there's areas that we just don't do as much anymore. When you go to a doctor, they just check basic CBC and chemistry. Nobody checks, for example, heavy metal screens. And I got interested in this type of integrative medicine because I personally was experiencing tingling in my face, a rapid heart rate, and a sense of anxiety. And I was eating a lot of tuna at the time at my favorite little Japanese restaurant out here. And I ended up having mercury levels 5 times the legal limit. And I got a letter from the state that I had high mercury, and I got that treated and everything went back to normal. But meanwhile, they were telling me, oh, maybe it's just the mental and anxiety, but it was actually I had mercury poisoning. Yeah. And out here, another problem is people get Lyme's tests, but they never forget to tell the doctor, I just don't want a Lyme's test after you get bitten by a tick. I would like a tick panel, because you also have to check for babesiosis or ehrlichiosis. And I had a friend who I told to do that, and he had Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which can actually kill you. So being your own advocate is very important in medicine and doing a deep dive, because we're really just a big bag of chemicals and we need to balance all those things out so we can optimize health and health span.
I remember about a year to maybe 2 years ago, some doctor came out with a statement saying that there was a maximum on how many years a healthy person could live before just dying naturally. And it was like 118 years. And I wondered if you had heard that and what you would say about that.
Absolutely. We're designed to live for about 120 years, but it's not about lifespan. It's about health span. And if these Yamanaka genes pan out and you can tell yourselves to go to a few years backwards or a few years younger, you know, you can improve things dramatically and you make yourself a little bit younger. And if you feel fine.
How long have you been working on this book?
Like I said, my first one was in 1997 called Die Young at a Golden Age, where after my mother died, I was trying to figure out how come all my relatives are living to be 100 in Greece and in their 90s. And my mother died at 68, who was pretty healthy lifestyle. And my dad died at 80, but all his relatives lived, you know, my great grandfather was 103. So I got interested in that. And then one of my mentors, internationally renowned eye surgeon, Dr. McCool, who's still working and operating in his later years, he also introduced me to anti-aging. And also Dr. Barry Strauss from out here was an oncologist. He actually wrote one of the first papers in 1975 on metformin as an anti-aging drug and that it could possibly prevent cancer. And now there's all kinds of studies that are showing benefits of metformin, which is just a diabetes drug made from French lilac, and how people who were on metformin had less admissions to the ICU with COVID. And we're just learning more and more all the time, just like, you know, vitamin D. The literature, like 4 months ago, they did a study, 3-year study, that if you keep your vitamin D levels between 50 and 75, it keeps your telomeres longer, which are the end caps on your DNA. And that turns out vitamin D is also a way to help your longevity by keeping your levels normal. And the people who had vitamin D levels between 50 and 75 had less admissions during COVID and less ICU admissions, and they fared better. And that's why they thought that Africans in Africa who had much higher vitamin D levels than African Americans, that difference was noted, that that was probably one of the reasons why they had less morbidity and mortality from COVID. So we're learning more and more about the human body, the human condition, and how to keep everything in balance. And that's how I got interested in anti-aging. And it's an area that's really exploded. I started doing it 30 years ago, but recently the testing has gotten so sophisticated that you can do DNA testing and learn all about your risk. Like I did DNA testing just with a swab in my cheek, and I found out I have something called factor five Leiden, which increases my risk for clots. So now I know when I fly, I need to stay well hydrated. I don't cross my legs. I take a baby aspirin before I fly. Before any type of surgery, I now know to tell my doctors that I have this factor five Leiden. And there's a lot of people who end up with pulmonary embolism spots, but they never test for these things. So just with a simple genetic test that you do on your own, you can find out if you have an increased risk for certain cancers or certain diseases that you can watch out for and basically prepare yourself preemptively.
Can doctors today, any doctors, do a DNA testing?
Well, my wife does it in her office regularly, the Intellix DNA, and that gives you a whole bunch of information. And there are other companies that can give you the risk factors that do it. But, you know, there's also a cancer guard test now that you do a one blood test and it can tell you the risk for 50 different cancers, whether you have it, because it picks up microscopic fragments of cancer cells. I've already saved, I think, three people from it. I told one lady who was 45, she says, I don't feel right. My doctors say I'm fine. I said, you have a family history of cancer? She said, yes. I said, why don't you go do the cancer guard test? And the test came back positive ovarian signal. Our doctor laughed at it and said, oh, you know, why are you listening to an ophthalmologist? And then she went and got an MRI. One ovary was larger than the other. I sent her to the GYN oncologist, and guess what? There was an ovary loaded with ovarian cancer. This woman will now have it removed. She's going to go on to have a normal, long life. I had another person out here, and I told him to do it, and it came back positive lung signal alveolar. Did a CAT scan, found a marble-sized lesion in the right lower lobe of the lung. Very small, had it removed, loaded with cancer, and this person will go on to live a normal life. So it's like $690, the price of a dinner for four at San Ambrose, and you can get a cancer guard test and find out whether you have cancer. So I think it's a worthwhile investment. The problem is that doctors in the new model of healthcare have to see 20, 30 people a day. And unfortunately, in that model of medicine, with those 15 minutes, nobody's going to do a gut health test. Nobody's going to discuss whether, you know, you need a tick panel or a heavy metal screen, or for men especially, what your hormone health is, why you're feeling tired and weak and not well, and because your testosterone levels are low. I actually visited stem cell centers, and they were trying to help people who were injured with spinal cord injuries and various other injuries. And I gave them the idea, why don't you start testing their hormone health and testosterone levels? And when they did that with these patients getting physical therapy after car accidents, after trauma, after being bedridden, and they optimized their testosterone levels, those people had more energy, more strength, and were able to do much better in physical therapy and heal faster and get back to walking faster. And they actually are publishing the results of that information just from an idea that I suggested to this stem cell center. So there's a lot of amazing things happening in medicine, but unfortunately, you know, you have to be proactive. You can do a lot of it yourself. Now you can order tests on LabCorp and Quest yourself, even without a doctor. If you want to get a men's health panel, a heavy metal screen, your hormone health, you can actually order it on your own, because a lot of times your insurance or your doctor, you know, doesn't want to do the paperwork to try to get that information. And there's a lot of new medicines that the doctor has to fill out all these forms. They don't want to bother. For example, there's a cholesterol medicine called Ram, and that's an injectable, and you can do it every 2 weeks or every month. It actually reverses blockages of plaque in the heart, and that's quite amazing. So if you've had a heart stent and you're on Repatha and you can keep your levels within normal limits, there's one test that a lot of doctors won't do, but they do it in Europe a lot, called apolipoprotein B. If you keep that below 100, your chances of a heart attack and stroke become exceedingly rare. So there is a medicine that can help, but because the insurance companies don't want to pay for it and the doctors don't want to sit and fill out all the pre-certification work, if you don't know about it, you have to ask for it. So I had a friend with calcium on their CAT scan. I told him to start. The doctor finally gave it. And after a year, he redid the scan, and a lot of those plaques have reversed. and a Cleveland Clinic study and a Cedars-Sinai study in California also has documented that. So it's amazing that we have these new class of cholesterol medicines called PCSK9 inhibitors, invented by the great Dr. Yancopoulos at Regeneron, the same guy who did the Regeneron antibody. And you can reverse blockages, but you need to know about it. So that's why people have to listen to more Dan's podcast to get all this amazing new information on how to promote your health span.
This is amazing to me. Is the book in bookstores locally yet?
Oh, it's going to be on Amazon in the end of July, and with the formatters now and the printers at Amazon, it'll be on Amazon, and they can go to thedeathofaging.com and learn more about some of this stuff and get more tips on health and longevity. And I also do a national radio show that goes to 40 states, 200 stations on WABC radio that simulcasts out here on 107.1 every Sunday between 9 and 10. And, you know, we just basically cover a different, I did prostate and men's health because this month is prostate month and giving men different tips on managing prostate health. And also it's Alzheimer's month. Fascinating, amazing new study out of Harvard found that the people with Alzheimer's disease had an almost zero level of lithium orotate, which is a natural mineral salt found in mountain water like Pellegrino and things like that. And they found that in the mouse model, they gave the lithium orotate, not lithium carbonate, the psych medicine, but lithium orotate, a natural salt. And the mice were able to get through the maze better. And when they imaged their brains in the Alzheimer's model, the plaques reversed. And this is like hot off the press. So that's why some doctors are actually preemptively giving their patients these micro doses of lithium orotate, which you can buy over the counter in White's Pharmacy. But that's just, to me, it's quite amazing that they found a correlation between just something as simple as lithium orotate salts and the development of Alzheimer's disease and cognitive decline. But again, if your doctor is not educated and up to date on all this information, so that's why you have to advocate, but people can just look it up. Nature is the most prestigious journal in medicine. Put lithium orotate in Alzheimer's and you can start reading and following about it. And that's something that I think in the next few years, we're all going to be probably microdosing that as we age and start losing our memory and having cognitive changes. So we're really just proves that we're just a big bag of chemical, as one of my professors said. And Dr. Watson, who discovered the DNA with Watson and Crick, was a friend of mine. And we used to have dinner with Dr. John Anton and another friend, Roger Sammet. And he always used to tell me that it's all going to come down to the ability to harness our chemistry and our DNA repair. And what he said is absolutely correct. And again, live long and prosper, think positive and test negative, and keep listening to Dan for more fascinating podcasts.
Thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it very much. And I'm going to read your book from cover to cover.
Thank you for being a legend and an icon in this community and being a positive life force for all of us.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.